Welcome to J-Rock Therapy Mental Health and Wellness Podcast. I'm so happy that you decided to join me today. As you know, I specialize in the areas of marriage and family therapy, trauma recovery, and behavioral addictions. Today, I want to talk a bit about marriage and family therapy systems. A common term that we hear in our culture is the word dysfunctional associated with families. Dysfunctional families. But what really is a dysfunctional family? I kind of like to think that every family in some way underfunctions in one way or another. And to that end, I also feel that there are definitely levels or phases of underfunctioning. I think that, you know, it's almost like you could sort of number it from 1 to 4 in the same way that we do in the medical field. There are some cases that are severe, that are like a stage 4, that it looks like it's almost hopeless. This family system is in critical condition and in danger of dying out in terms of having a healthy relationship or a healthy way of operating. Then there's level 3, where it's more of like an intensive care ICU. Like, we really need to give some specialized therapy, some specialized intervention and care, but it's greater hope or possibility of the family recovering and changing some of its patterns. Then there's a level 2 of underfunctioning, where there's some things that get in the way, but it doesn't impede the growth of the family. There's no sort of wounding that's going on in a systematic or patterned way on a very frequent basis. And, you know, the family could probably just use a tune-up. And then I'd say level 1, which is just almost like significant. The significance may be related to like a common cold or an allergy. It's uncomfortable. It gets in the way sometimes, but you get over it quickly and you move forward. Speaking of getting over things quickly and moving forward, a lot of severely underfunctioning families that are in maybe a phase 3 or 4 of underfunctioning tend to sweep things under the rug. You may hear very common cliches in these family systems like, just move on. The past is in the past. Just get over it. We can't do anything about that now. When the going gets tough, the tough gets going. The problem with sweeping issues and problems under the rug is that eventually the rug gets too full and things start to overflow and spill out. So you might ask, well, does everything have to be addressed? Absolutely not. I think it's the same way that when people say, well, how do I know if I need counseling or therapy? Well, one of the ways that we define impairment in clinical mental health counseling is it getting in the way of your day-to-day functionings? So sometimes there's problems and issues in our family's systems that get in the way of our everyday functioning. There's unresolved trauma. There's abuse, there's neglect, there's severe levels of anxiety, severe levels of depression, chronic substance abuse, chemical addiction, sexual addiction, and it's affecting our work, it's affecting our professional lives, it's affecting our relationships and our personal lives, or we're taking this stuff that we learned in our family of origin, and then we're going out and sort of reliving it throughout the rest of society. Sometimes people say, well, how do I know if I need counseling? Is it impairing your function? The second part of that, though, is also if you feel stuck, if you feel like you're living in a loop and you keep reliving some of the same issues or same problems over and over again, you know that you've thought about it, you've meditated on it, you've prayed about it, you've tried to wish it away, you know, everything that you can think of, but it still is sort of in your consciousness or still affecting your life. That's also sometimes a sign that there may be trauma involved when you're stuck in a trauma loop, because the brain is having you go through the same thing over and over again until you're ready to deal so that you can heal. For example, sometimes people will continue to make the same types of relationship choices. It's like a different woman in a different city in a different year of a different ethnic background, but it seems like all the same issues. It's like, oh my gosh, it's like I keep dating the same person over and over again. New guy, new job, you know, he looks different age, but why do I keep having these same relational patterns? Well, we in life don't attract what we want as much as we attract who we are. So if you can have the courage and the audacity and the faith and the boldness to do the work and begin to change what's on the inside, you inevitably are going to change what you attract and draw to you on the outside. There's something called reticular activation. And the concept of reticular activation is that your brain is programmed to notice and to recognize what you focus on. For example, you may be thinking to yourself, I've really been wanting to get one of those Mini Coopers. So I've gone and test driven a couple of them, and it's like all of a sudden now I notice that everybody has a Mini Cooper. I've been really wanting to get that new Cadillac Escalade. All of a sudden it's like everybody has that Escalade. I've been really wanting that Tesla. Everybody has that now. Everyone didn't suddenly go out and, you know, purchase one of these vehicles the night, you know, before you went and looked at it. It's that your brain now is focusing on this particular kind of vehicle, and therefore you're noticing it more. So if your brain or your subconscious is trained to focus on rejection, on hurt, that you're not loved, that you're not lovable, that relationships are hard or problematic, or that they always fall apart, or that people always disappoint me, or people always hurt me, nothing ever works out for me, I'm a loner, I'm alone in this world, no one ever supports me, whatever that story is that you've created, whatever that story is that you were programmed with growing up, whether you've heard it from your parents or your caregivers or your siblings or your teachers, or you created that story on your own, whatever that is, that tape, as we call it sometimes in psychology. I know we don't use tapes anymore, but think about a tape or a record or a film that just keeps playing over and over again. If that's what you're focused on, you're going to draw more of that into your life to confirm that it's true, to confirm that this is what reality is. So when we find ourselves getting stuck in relational patterns and financial patterns and professional patterns and patterns of the way that we're caring for ourselves in terms of our health physically, you know, what we're eating, things that are affecting us in negative ways. And that's when we say, okay, maybe it's time to look into some therapy, some coaching, do some inner work and get some of this out of the way. So in our family systems, we talked about how there's phases of underfunctioning, four phases of underfunctioning. This is really important because the way that we establish those early childhood relationships and attachments, oftentimes we continue to play out in our adult life. So when we think about like the three attachment styles, for example, you have a secure attachment, which is a child that was raised in an environment that felt secure, it felt safe, it felt loving. This child felt whole when they had a physical need or an emotional need. Their needs were met pretty quickly. So they grow up kind of feeling like the world is a safe place. The second attachment style is anxious and avoidant. This is the child that grew up in an environment where their caretakers kind of pushed them away, blew them off, to never seem to have time for them, or they just felt like they were a burden and inconvenience. They felt that they were constantly being, their love was being avoided. And so there was an anxiousness that develops where they're always wanting to check and see, like, it's almost like they're always waiting for the other shoe to drop as they get older. Like, when is this person gonna, you know, get rid of me? When is this person gonna get tired of me? Is everything okay? Are we okay? Are we good? You know, I love you, right? You know? And so the anxious and avoidant, person or that attachment style can just sort of be on a constant quest to always try and make sure things are okay. The other one is insecure. The third one, and insecure, would be when you're not sure. It's almost like some days you feel like your caregiver or your parents love you. Some days you feel like they could do without you. It's sort of flip-flop back and forth. And so that insecure attachment style shows up as well. And like when we don't feel sure about our relationships or our friendships. Now, the great thing about all of these attachment styles is you don't have to be stuck with it for life. It's not a life sentence. You can change these attachment styles. And something I like to talk a lot about in the therapy room is that you don't have to go back and try and change your past. You don't have to go back and try and necessarily have all of the conversations that you want to clear up things with your parents or people in your past. You can reparent yourself. So if there were gaps, significant gaps in your life growing up, you can go back and help to begin to fill those gaps and reparent yourself. And the wonderful thing about the brain is our brains are these highly sophisticated muscles. We have something called neuroplasticity, which means that your brain has the ability to bounce back. It has resilience. It has the ability to retrain itself. You can retrain your brain. So if you have an addictive behavioral pattern of, you know, let's say love addiction, where you're just constantly seeking out love and approval from other people, and if you don't get that external validation, you go into a depressive cycle, and then you start it all over again when you feel you're euphoric, when you feel that you're being accepted and validated, and then you go through the cycle again when you feel like it's not enough, you feel empty again, then you go into the depressive cycle. You can begin to get accountable and become aware of when you're going through those cycles and begin to retrain your brain and say, whoa, 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 oh my goodness, I'm going down this path. You know what? This is a story that I've created, and this story does not mean it's true. Even if it feels true, it doesn't mean that it is true, and it doesn't have to be my truth. I even know sometimes people who will check in with really close friends and just say, you know what? I just have this habit of thinking negative things or feeling like I'm getting on people's nerves or feeling like I'm talking too much or whatever it might be. And they'll just say, were you thinking that when we were hanging out? Or were you thinking that? And most of the time, the other friend is like, I didn't even cross my mind. Sometimes that's a way of helping to interrupt that neural pattern when you check in with someone else and you become vulnerable and you disclose that to a safe person so that they can help you see outside of yourself. And so, you know, when we think about these underfunctioning family relationships and we think about the different attachment styles that we have, it can really help you to better understand the behavioral patterns and the relational patterns that you've set up in your own life as an adult or as a young adult, or even as an older adult, if you're listening to this podcast. And it's never too late to go back and begin to create new grooves in the brain, to begin to create new patterns and begin to imagine a new life for yourself. It doesn't matter if you have struggled within your family system with substance abuse, with sex addiction, with sexual abuse, with physical or verbal abuse. Whatever it is, with support, with work, with time, you can work through it, you can overcome it, and you can become the very best version of yourself. Now, I know in the world that we live in, the world of social media, where it seems like every part of our lives is constantly being documented and updated and then curated to look better than maybe what it really is. Sometimes it'll look like something that doesn't even really exist. I know it can be really easy to fall into the trap of comparison, but I want to challenge you listening right now to remember that comparison is a thief of joy. And the only person that you are competing against is you. The best version of yourself. Ask yourself, what is the best version of myself that I have ever been physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, socially, culturally, economically, and financially? What is the best that I've ever been? And how can I become a better version of that? The last thing I want to leave you with is, you know, set the goals that you have for yourself and your family, in your relationships, with your relationship with yourself, by the way. So you might say, well, I don't have any family members that I'm in contact with anymore. They've all died off, or I was adopted, or I'm not in a relationship. That's okay, because life is relational. So ask yourself, what is the relationship that you have with divine, and what is the relationship that you have with yourself? Because that will dictate and determine every other relationship in your life. So set these goals for yourself. Set these goals, but surrender the outcome and what it means about your identity. In other words, it doesn't have to own your power. You're more than a number on a scale. You're more than a number in a bank account. You're more than a title or a list of letters behind your name and papers and degrees and certificates that are hung up on a wall. Those things can all be fun and be energizing to go after. But when you begin to realize that it's informing your identity, how you feel about yourself, you know, whether or not you're in a relationship, what someone said to you or spoken to your life or over your life that you feel like had a negative impact in your life years ago, it's like you're giving, when we allow those things to affect our identity and affect our self-worth and affect our self-image, we have given over our power to that person or to that thing. So take back your personal power as you're listening to this, and understand that the greatest gift that you can give yourself is the freedom to be validated by self and source. Everyone else and everything else is just all outside of you. And when I say source, I'm talking about what I believe is divine, what I believe is God, and what I believe exists within all of us. So stay tuned for more podcasts from J-Rock Therapy. You can subscribe at our website at jrocktherapy.com, and feel free to reach out with questions and topic suggestions. And I look forward to continuing the conversation. Be well. Thank you for listening. Take care of yourself and those around you.